That was pretty good singing. And excellent worship service this morning. Appreciate everybody who contributed and participated in leading of our minds and thoughts today. I'm going to piggyback off of Daryl's lesson 2 this morning in Hebrews chapter 10. We're not going to go to Hebrews 10, but we're going to be looking at a similar theme that he talked about in our Bible class this morning. I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 9, please, in your Bibles. Mark chapter 9. And before we get started reading in verse 14, I want to wish all the mothers, of course, here a happy Mother's Day. And I was reading an article last night on mothers, so I thought I'd share a little bit of that with you as we start this morning. Ken Welliver wrote an article on Mother's Day, and he said, there are many great mothers in the Bible. Sarah, the mother of Isaac, Jochebed, the mother of Moses, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, Eunice, the mother of Timothy, and of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. These women show the power of a spiritual influence in the life of a child, and they teach young mothers today lessons of love, patience, perseverance, persistence, humility, kindness, commitment, and devotion. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the role and respect that children should give to their mothers. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Proverbs 6 and verse 20. Let your father and your mother be glad and let her who bore you rejoice. Proverbs 23 and verse 25. Listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Jenny's been reminding Joey of that proverb. Doesn't want to be left alone. Joseph, you're going to take care of me. I got 8.5 years on Jenny, so she's planning for the future. But mothers indeed are very special to us. And what I always find amazing is how much mothers are willing to put up with us. We had 4 boys in the household. I have 3 brothers. I was the second one. And you can imagine, you know, I think, let's just talk about like when my older brother was 18, I was 16. My younger brother Mike was 12 and Jimmy was 10. I had 4 boys in the household just driving my mother insane. And yet she was the kind of woman that would build us up. And I was always amazed at how she was able to put up with us so much and all of our weaknesses and all of the difficulties that we caused her, and yet still love us and still tell us that she was proud of us. Proud of us. You know, we were heathens. And, you know, she would encourage us and make us feel like we were worth something to her. And, of course, we were. And mothers are the best at that. You know, fathers sometimes, you know, we take the hard line because we got to make him a man, you know. We got to turn our boy into a man so we're tough and we're hard and we push and we exhort for responsibility and we tear down whenever there's no responsibility. You know, you didn't do your job. You know, and we're always on the board, do better, do better, do better. And mothers are in the background encouraging and nurturing and telling them that they love you and that they love you and that they're proud of you and so on. I've always been amazed at that. So I thought that was a good lead-in to Mark chapter 9, too, because what I want to talk about this morning is a statement that Jesus made in Mark chapter 9. I forget exactly what verse, but we'll get to it when we start in verse 14. Mark chapter 9. This is the story of Jesus having sent his disciples out, and he's commanded them and given them power to heal all kinds of diseases as they preach the gospel, and to cast out demons as they preach the gospel. So this is astounding. They've been given incredible power. And it should be very vivid in their mind as to just how powerful Jesus is and how glorious he is and how much faith they should have in what Jesus is trying to accomplish. And yet in this story here, there's an occasion where they can't cast a demon out of one of the sons of one of the people that they're talking with. So Jesus comes back to them and there's disputing going on and they're arguing and people are, you know, challenging the disciples. You know, they couldn't cast this demon out. And so when Jesus comes back to them, we'll begin reading in verse 14. It says, when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, some scribes arguing with them. Immediately when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. So he's been away from the disciples, and the crowd sees him, and they just flock to him. They know who he is, and they want to see him. And he asked them, what are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. And I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it. And Jesus answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. And then he cast the demon out. And we'll read that, the rest of that, in just a minute. But that got me to thinking, you know, how much Jesus puts up with us. And in this particular case, what is it that he's putting up with? What is it that he's challenging this unbelieving generation about their faith, isn't it? Why weren't the disciples able to cast this demon out? Well, turn over to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verses 19 and 20. Same story, just a little recorded a little bit differently. And then it says, after this, the disciples came to Jesus privately. This is Matthew 17, verse 19. They came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So when Jesus said, how long shall I put up with this with you? You know, how long shall I put up with you? He was talking about the disciples too. He wasn't just talking about the crowd. In fact, as you read down through the story, let's go back to Mark chapter 9. And I'll show you the weak faith of the child's father as well. We'll pick up again in verse 20 of Mark chapter 9. They brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And the father said, from childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. One of the great lines in all the Bible, in my opinion. I do believe. Help my unbelief. So Jesus was challenging the father's faith. He said, if you can, you're asking me if I can cast, if I can do this? Don't you realize who I am? Don't you know my power? Haven't you seen my miracles? Isn't that why you're here? Isn't that why you asked my disciples to cast this demon out of your son? If you can. And so he challenged the man on his unbelief. And the man recognized that. He recognized that that's what Jesus was doing. And he said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And so Jesus cast the demon out and healed the boy. And down in verse 28, it says, when Jesus came into the house, his disciples began questioning privately, saying, why could we not drive it out? See, same question they asked before, right? In Matthew chapter, 17. But here in verse 29 of Mark chapter 9, Jesus said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. So it's a little bit different answer there. But when you think about it, it's a very similar answer. And I want to connect this with our growing in prayer theme for this year. You see how in Matthew, Jesus said, it's because of your little faith that you couldn't cast it out. And here, he said, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. It's a different answer. Or is it? Maybe it's a very similar answer. And maybe that's exactly the intention of the difference in the gospel accounts, is for us to think about the connection here between prayer and faith. Jesus puts up with us in our weak faith. Just like He put up with this unbelieving generation of people, even His own disciples, who had weak faith. They couldn't cast the demon out because of their weak faith. And Jesus said, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. So He's connecting prayer and faith together. They were not praying in faith. Now, after Jesus ascended, after the Holy Spirit came and the gospel went forth, in the book of Acts, you just see the apostles relying on prayer over and over and over again. Acts 1 and verse 14, before Matthias was chosen as the 12th apostle, it says they all joined together constantly in prayer. That's what they were doing. The apostles, disciples, all joining together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. Acts 2 and verse 42, after the 3,000 were baptized into Christ, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Prayer was a huge part of their societal church gatherings and their activities with one another. Outside their assemblies, they continually devoted themselves to prayer. In Acts 4 and verse 31, when Peter and John came back after having been held captive for a while and persecuted and told not to preach anymore, in verse 31 it says, they all were gathered together to pray, and when they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They were praying. When Peter was in prison and they didn't know he'd been released, it says that Peter, when he was released, came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. The apostles themselves, when they were recognized that there was a problem in the church where the Grecian widows were not being given a daily ministration of food, they didn't want to be distracted by taking care of that themselves, and so they asked the church to select 7 men who would be appointed over this task so that the apostles could be devoted to the Word of God and to prayer. So you see the emphasis. After Jesus arose from the dead and ascended back on high, the apostles got it. They understood it. We're going to be continually devoting ourselves to prayer, to the Word of God and to prayer. And we're going to teach the brethren to do the same thing. And they did. And that's the picture you see of the early church. Prayer and faith are very much tied together. Think about this. In James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, just look at these bullet points that I have up on the board. And we're going to look at each one of these this morning. James chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8. And I think these passages probably are familiar to us, if we've done any studying on prayer at all. Let's talk about them a little bit in connection with how Jesus puts up with us in our weak faith. And look at ourselves and see if we are the kind of person that Jesus has to put up with because we have a weak faith. I tell you what, I got to raise my hand, and I bet you everybody here would do the same thing when you really think about how we live, how we think, how we act, how we live our Christian walk. I bet you this lesson will convict each and every one of us that we're forcing Jesus to put up with us because of our weak faith. And once we realize that, maybe we can do better. Maybe we can please Him more by a stronger faith. And that will be exemplified, I think, in connection with prayer, which is one of the reasons why we chose that as our theme for this year, growing in prayer. We recognize that we all need to do that. But when we grow in prayer, guess what? We're growing in faith. Or when we grow in faith, we're growing in prayer. They're really so interchangeable. You see. So in James 1 and verses 5 through 8, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Why couldn't the disciples cast out the demon? Because of their weak faith, because of their little faith. They were asking, but they weren't receiving because they had little faith. So James says, look, if you lack wisdom, and who is it that doesn't lack wisdom? Who is it that doesn't have to deal with problems almost all the time? in their lives. And sometimes the problems mount up pretty good, you know, and that's all we're thinking about is all of the things we've got to deal with. Well, then, if you lack wisdom, then ask God. And ask, James says, in faith, and it will be given to you. God will give you wisdom. God will help you figure it out. God will help you make take the right action. But you've got to ask Him, and then you have to ask Him in faith. And he goes on to say, if you don't do that, if you don't ask in faith, then he says, you're like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You're not going to receive anything from the Lord. You're a double-minded person, unstable in all your ways. Really? Yeah. Unstable. You're unstable. You're easily taken down by the devil. These problems are easily overwhelming you. You're not able to deal with them. Because you're not going to God and getting wisdom to help you with those things because you don't have the faith to go to Him and trust Him and then get up and act upon the answers that He's providing for you. I tell you, so many times in my life I have solved problems or made decisions or choices without adequately asking God for wisdom in faith. Trusting Him and getting up and joyfully and confidently and boldly going about my work knowing that God's with me. God's going to help me with this because I prayed and I asked Him and I asked in faith and I believe Him and He's going to help me. There is no better feeling in the world than that. To have that kind of faith because it's not in yourself. It's not in your own abilities. Now you're putting your faith in God and God's going to help you. Because you believe. You trust. It's hard for me to understand how these apostles didn't have that kind of faith when Jesus had sent them out and they were healing people of their diseases and casting out demons. They could see the power of God. They could see the power of Jesus. And then they still had weak faith. So, you think we're not susceptible to the same thing? We've got to be in the Word of God, as Daryl was talking about this morning, where the Holy Spirit is testifying to us of who God is and what He will do for us and how He will help us. And so that we approach His throne boldly, with confidence. You know, 1 John 5, let's look at some of these verses. 1 John chapter 5. And I think I've said this before in our study on prayer. It's one of my favorite passages on prayer because of how much it teaches us. In 1 John 5 and verse 14, John says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." And our immediate thought is, well, how do I know if it's according to His will? I'm going to help you with that in just a second. In verse 15, it says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." And immediately we say, wait a minute, well, I don't get everything I ask for. So is this verse lying to us? No, we just need to understand what He's saying here. He's saying, if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. So I take that to mean exactly what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus' will was for this cup to pass away from Him. Let this cup pass away from me. That was Jesus' will. And He cried out to His Father. And then He said, what? Let not my will be done, but Thy will be done. He submitted it to God and accepted. Whatever the answer would be, He was willing to accept it. And John says that when you pray that way, God hears you, and if you know that He hears you, then you know that you have whatever you asked of Him. And what did you ask of Him? What did you ask of Him? That His will. And you know that you have it. So what do you know? You know that you have an answer. You know that God is working. God heard you, and He's going to act upon that. And that is enough. Whatever the answer will be, you're good with that. Because God is giving you that answer. And He's directing your life. And He's sharing with you the wisdom. He's helping you and leading you and guiding you. He's answering you. It's a great, great encouragement to pray in faith. And then you look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 15 and 16. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How do you come boldly before the throne of grace? You come in faith. You don't come boldly because of how good you are or how much you're going to praise God. I'm praising you, God. I'm coming boldly before your throne. No, you may come crawling before his throne, but you're coming boldly because of your faith in him. You know that he sympathizes with your weaknesses. You know that he cares about you. You know that as worthless as you can be sometimes, he still loves you and that he sent his son Jesus to die for you on the cross. And so you can crawl boldly to the throne of grace because you believe in him. In James 5 and verse 16, James says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Your prayer avails much. Your prayer accomplishes much if you're faithful. See, you got to accompany your prayer with faith, with total trust and faith. So you got to know that God hears you because you're praying according to his will and you're willing to accept whatever outcome God gives you. That's the prayer of faith. And you trust him. He's going to act. And so when you pray for your brother, your prayer avails much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. These are all very well-known passages of Scripture to us, I think. But look at the connection of these with faith. Be anxious for nothing. Which, you know, to us is a command that we almost can't obey, right? It's almost like that. That's the way we think. You know, That's kind of impossible. Be anxious for nothing. But it's not, is it? It's not impossible if we will obey what he says. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How? How? How does that even work? Because of your faith. It's strictly and solely because of your faith. You got plenty to be anxious about from a worldly standpoint. But you're going to God in prayer. You're petitioning him. You're thanking him for what he does. And because of your faith in him, you can get up and be at peace. And it's a peace that passes understanding. It guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You can get through this. He doesn't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to endure. You know that. And with the temptation, will also provide the way of escape so that you may endure it. God's going to help you. God's going to take care of you. Be anxious for nothing. Well, how? Because of your faith. It's just not that complicated. It's just that we're like the disciples. We know these things. They knew all kinds of things. They saw things that we will never see. They saw power that we will never see. We see it in the pages of the Bible. The Holy Spirit testifies to us of these things, and so we can see through the eyes of faith. But they saw it, and they still had weak faith. They still had weak faith. So you see, it's not complicated. It's real simple. And we just need to stay focused on that. We just need to remember that. We need to be recentered to that. And that's what prayer does. Prayer centers us on the simplicity of our walk with God. Just pray in faith every day. Pray in faith and make prayer a meaningful part of your life so that you believe and you rise up in peace. And in power and in victory, you're going to overcome these problems. You're going to be patient. You're going to wait on the Lord. You trust Him. He'll do it in His time. Let His will be done. All of these things that you're remembering are true because of who you believe in. It's that simple. It's not about you. It's about Him and your faith in Him, your trust in Him. That's where your power comes from. No prayer, no power. No prayer, no power. Why couldn't we cast this out? This does not come out. This kind does not come out except by prayer. You didn't have enough faith, Jesus said in the other version, right? Matthew. Because of your little faith. You didn't pray in faith. No prayer, no power. It's a good lesson. Luke 18. We'll close with Luke 18. Actually, there's two more points in this lesson. I'm going to stop right here. Because to me, this is all I really wanted to get done anyway. For myself. Maybe for you too. You know, just remind me, myself. No prayer, no power. No faith, no victory. Faith is the victory. Faith is the simple approach to life that God blesses us with. Faith. Daryl talked about that in the Hebrews class all class long, trying to bring our minds to the fact that faith is what produces everything else in our lives. You know, sometimes people look at service. You know, we got to do service. And when we do more acts of service, then we'll have greater faith. No, we got it exactly backwards. That was one of the points that we talked about. We got it exactly backwards. The writer of Hebrews was saying, faith in all of these truths are what will drive you to consider one another, to love and good works. They'll drive you to the assembling of yourselves together. It'll drive you to your good works that you were created for. It's all about faith and trust, believing in the power of God. Luke chapter 18, in verse 1. Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. He told the parable of the unjust judge. The widow just kept coming back to Him time and time again, pleading with Him to give her justice. And finally, the unjust judge relents and gives her justice. And then Jesus' point is, will not your heavenly Father give justice to those who ask of Him? And will He not do it speedily? And then Jesus closed that parable with verse 8. When He said, I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Well, will He? When He comes, will He find you faithful? Will He find that kind of faith in you? Where you trust Him enough to continue to come back to Him and plead with Him for whatever it is that you need, His will be done. And you're praying in faith every day, living that way. When the Son of Man comes, will He find that faith in you? It's that simple to be a Christian. It's that simple. Everything else falls into place. People think it's complicated. They do. They think that there's all kinds of problems associated with, I don't think I'll be able to do this or that. I won't be able to hold up to that standard. I won't be able to make those sacrifices. I got these desires. I won't be able to give them up. Now, all of that God takes care of through your faith. Faith is the victory. Faith is the power to live. And we are established by our faith in Christ Jesus. I appreciate your good attention this morning. If you're here this morning and not yet a Christian, the Word of God produce faith in you. And so, if you know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you believe that with all of your heart, then you're going to want to repent. That means you're going to turn away from sin and you're going to turn to Him. And if you're a little concerned about that, maybe, how am I going to do that? But you know you need to. You know you must. Now, that's where your faith comes in. Do you really believe that He's the Christ, the Son of God? Do you really believe in His promises? That He'll help you and give you the victory? Then you can repent. And you can overcome. And He will help you.
So you need to take that step of faith and you need to obey the gospel, don't you? You need to come forward this morning and be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins. Confess Jesus as your Lord. You believe. You trust with all of your heart and you're rejoicing that He's willing to forgive you of all your sins. Or if you're already a Christian and you want to come back to the Lord because you've fallen away, same thing applies to you. You just don't need to be baptized again. But it's the same principles, isn't it? The same trust, the same faith, the same commitment. So whatever your need may be, we invite you to come this morning and we stand to see you.